Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, family, friends, all those listeners out there in the virtual highways and byways, I'd like to welcome you to another Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey, and I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. And today we're just continuing on with the movement of educating people in the body of Christ, helping them to understand different things as it relates to difficult theological topics. These theological topics we find necessary for us to examine what it is we truly believe so that we will be well informed when dealing with people who don't believe or even dealing with our own spiritual walk. It's very important that we address these issues, because if we don't address them from a perspective of a believer, then eventually we'll have to address them from the perspective of having it dictated to us from the world. And so if we are to guard ourselves and be armored up in the Word of God, then we have to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So before we go into today's topic, which is a continuation from last show's topic, I dare not go any further without first invoking the blessings of our God. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly thank you for this opportunity to go before those that are out there in the virtual highways and byways. Please strengthen us. Allow us to speak with clarity and understanding. Allow us to deliver messages from this platform that allow us to better understand your word, better understand the principles that we operate in, and be empowered to make more informed decisions about how we walk in our Christian faith. Continue to endow us, Lord, with your principles, and allow us to actually go before your people with strength, anointing, and power, knowing that we are who you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones. And so, God, give us the strength to conduct ourselves accordingly. We trust you. We believe you in faith. In Jesus' name, we gladly say amen. Last week we were sharing a message, and it was more talk this week, and I'm going to actually get to the point where we do more our sermonic messages than before, but than actually what we have been doing. I want to actually have more sermonic messages, so please be on the lookout for that, as well as entertain more guests. But truthfully, if you really analyze the show, the topic is Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey, because we want to deal with these tough theological issues and concepts. Last week we were talking about the third wave movement. It's really hard to discuss third wave with many people because it's hard to get us to see at times an understanding of our practice, you know, above what the Bible is actually saying. Sometimes we flip it all around, and rather than allow ourselves to be governed by the Bible, we take the Bible and make it be governed to what we want our belief system to be. And then what ultimately happens is we're in a church that is full of theatrics, antics. We're in a place where God is not calling us to be. And what we're going to find out very, very soon that is we either believe God or we don't. Let's be real about this. We either believe God or we don't. So here it is. If we are actually speaking in tongues and unknown tongues and languages and all of this stuff, then we're doing it according to how God has blessed us, empowered us, or we're actually trying to put on a show or even trying to help God. And see, the reality is when we get to the point where we're trying to help God do something that God did not call us to do, then we're actually putting on a spiritual front. And so today, I'm going to continue that message from last time, dealing with the third wave. My question to the body of Christ is this a charismatic or compromised gospel? Third wave, charismatic or compromised gospel? I'm going to see if I can recap an aspect of last week and then pick up and move on so that we can get into some newer things regarding the third wave. Last week, we talked about speaking in tongues. We put it in proper perspective based on the Bible. We understood from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, how it's necessary for when we hear people speaking in tongues that we do it with an interpreter. We also understood how many times in churches we don't find that happening. And I talked about how different people might be rubbed the wrong way. We might be pushing them right out of our churches, saying that if you don't speak in tongues, then you aren't saved. We discussed how it's an evidence but not the only evidence of salvation. Just because a person do or do not speak in tongues does not mean that they are or are not saved. So let's deal with speaking in tongues really quick. We discussed how the day of Pentecost, as many people who speak in tongues tend to go back to, refer to, and we also learned that those were known languages. It wasn't for the believer, but it was for the unbeliever, because the miracle was they spoke in known languages, everyone speaking a different language, but yet everyone understanding each other. It was a move of the Holy Spirit. And so we tend to associate that with salvation, because after the Holy Spirit fell upon them, then they spoke in tongues. And we even confused at the end of the book of Acts, the second chapter, at the end, I think it's verse 2 and 47, how the Bible teaches us that God added on to the church daily as he saw necessary, basically. That's a paraphrase, but it's an evidence, people of God, but it's not the evidence. So I talked about how I went into a church, lady singing in tongues, and she asked me, was I saved? And I, if I spoke in tongues, and I told her, no, I did not. So here was, I was an avid believer. I'm on fire in Christ Jesus in my belief system, my worldview. I believe the gospel, and so the Bible teaches me I'm saved. It says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus Christ and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I fulfilled the necessary requirement of salvation. But here it is. This woman told me that if I wasn't speaking in tongues, that I wasn't saved. Imagine the damage that we had been doing within the body of Christ, outside of what the Bible actually says, when we treat people so harshly, looking down our noses at them based on principles that are not even in the Bible in the first place. So here I was, I talked about the movie Trolls. It's like when the Trolls, it's a cartoon, a little cartoon I found myself looking at. When they lost hope, it was like their colors begin to just leave their body. They turn gray. And so that's how I felt in that moment. I felt like the colors had really just left out of my body, had left out of my spirit, because I was told that I wasn't even saved. It had to take me to a point of doing a deeper study and a deeper understanding of who I actually am. So while I was understanding and I was dealing with that, I had to know what the Word of God truly says. And so it helped me to see that, yes, it is an evidence, but it is not the evidence. It's not the only evidence. It's a gift of the Spirit, but it's not the only gift. In fact, the Bible actually teaches us through Paul's writing within the same text, 1 Corinthians, that we ought to pursue prophecy because prophecy builds up. So we should be looking to build up our churches, which when we speak in tongues, especially if the Holy Spirit didn't give utterance, if the Holy Spirit is not authorizing it, if the Holy Spirit not having us say these same catchphrases over and over again, if the Holy Spirit is not causing us to do that, we are not building up, but in fact we're tearing down. So as we go a little bit further, some of the other things that I want to talk about is signs and wonders or healing and blessings. This topic is of course, very difficult to breach, to broach, if you will, because some people are so in their feelings about speaking in tongues, or they're so in their feelings about signs and wonders. So when we go into signs and wonders or healing and blessing, then not only are we dealing with the actual signs and wonders and healing and blessing, but we're actually dealing with the authority of the people that are actually doing it. So I know I'm probably going to lose some ratings. I apologize for that. I'm not concerned as much about that as I am with standing on a platform and sharing with us the Word of God as it relates to these specific areas. And that simply is, talk about signs and, I mean, healing and blessing. Let's deal with healing and blessing. Let's actually deal with the authority of people that does healing and blessings. Am I saying that God cannot do miracles through us? No, I am not saying that God will not do miracles. I understand that he will. Many times that, you know, God moves in mysterious ways, and we'll find that sometimes those situations happen that had it not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I'd be. And only way that certain situations could have came to pass is if God had done it. I do understand that. But some people have actually tricked us. So we've been hoodwinked. We've been hoodwinked, bamboozled into believing in a person than we are in believing in God's word. And the reality is we get tripped and I'm not saying every prophet, I'm not saying every bishop is wrong or out of order. Please, let's put the conversation in proper context. But there are some who pervert the word of God to make you believe that they have, like, this is something that has to specifically come through me because I'm a prophet. This is something that specifically come through me because I'm an apostle. Meet me over here. Come to this place for healing and blessings because this is what I'm doing. And so let us understand the ideology, because this is third wave ideology. I talked very briefly about third wave. Third wave is a combination of two different movements. So just because I say third wave, that doesn't mean that it's a Pentecostal, or apostolic, or Church of God in Christ Church specifically, but it's this mentality of how we pursue our theology. And so what is third wave? Third wave, it's a movement that evolved from both Pentecostal and charismatic movement. All right? The Pentecostal movement, basically, it was both of these movements actually came together. The third wave, it was first coined by Peter Wagner, all right, C. Peter Wagner. And so we find that there was a lot of information that was coming out, development in his life around his time during, he was a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary. And so one of the things that we begin to find is, as we do our research, we find that we've gone into this word of faith or name it and claim it kind of movement that comes out of this. And so the same things with, like, healings and wonders. So what we find is this mentality behind healings and wonders healing and blessing services. It's all about getting people to look at the Bible from a perspective of us commanding God or manipulating God, opposed to human beings actually being subject to the Word of God. And what I mean by that is, the name it and claim it doctrine, if you will, comes from people believing that you can speak to those things from the Bible, speak to those things that are not, as though they were, and they'll basically manifest. But the reality is that this is not something that has been put into proper context. You and I do not have creation power. As humans, we do not have creation power, because that's reserved specifically for God. That's the reason why he says that your ways are not my ways. We cannot name it and claim it. of course, there are some things that you can do to begin to change how you operate within situations, such as if you are negative, a negative person, and you're thinking negatively, then you're ultimately going to have a negative outcome. That's understandable. Those work by basic and general principles. But you become positive, and when you're more positive, the chances are you're going to have a more positive outcome. But when our prophets and when our apostles and when all of these people are prophesying unto us houses and cars and businesses and money and things of prosperity, the reality is we're trying to get swept, or we're getting swept into this name it and claim it kind of mentality. Why are we trying to name it and claim it? Why are we getting swept into that? So everybody can't be rich. If everybody was rich, there would never be any poor, all the resources. But I wish that everyone really could. But the reality is, Jesus said that the poor you will have with you always. So when we look at the basic life of Jesus, many of the name it and claim it people, or third wave movement minded people, would tell you that Jesus was rich. Look at all of what the disciples and the apostles had, and it was rich. And they had, I don't know what Bible they're reading. Look at the very nature of how Jesus came into the world. The Bible teaches us that he was born in a manger. He was out there with the animals. There was no room for him at the inn. So here it was, he was born in a manger. You look at the life that he actually lived, it wasn't some flamboyant, elaborate life that Jesus lived during his earthly ministry. Well, let's look at the triumphal entry when he was coming into Bethany. When he was doing his fight, the triumphal entry. From the triumphal entry, before that, he told his disciples, go and get me a colt that was never been ridden on before. Did he say go and pay for one? Do we know if it was borrowed? And so when they laid palms down before him, that was acknowledgement of the king that he was. Actually, he was a rightful king. His believers, his true disciples, prepared for his entry. So as we look at Christ Jesus, we don't see a snapshot, or if you will, a portrait of this big name it and claim it kind of life. And here it is, Jesus was God in the flesh. So let's deal with healing and blessing, because that's a very big thing that can cause people a lot of hardship if we get swept away into this bad doctrine. See, we think that we look at the operation of the Holy Spirit. We see that the Holy Spirit is in operation in mankind right now. We see the Father. We see God, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in operation with us holistically. I'm sorry, excuse me. We see it as a holistic thing. The Father draws, the Son saves, and the Holy Spirit seals us. We see that in complete operation, but if you really think about it from a biblical perspective, which part of the Godhead is mostly in operation with us on a day-to-day? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes residence inside of us. And so one of the things that the third wave movement looks at is the operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, some don't even actually believe the Holy Spirit is God, but a force that exudes from God. But we know that the Holy Spirit is God. Those are Trinitarians. Now, everyone that might be listening might not be a Trinitarian. You might think that there's God the Father, God the Son, and the Spirit exudes forth from both of them. You might think that there's just a unity, that God, that there's a modalistic view of God, that God manifests himself in different times, but he's all the same. So what I'm actually teaching here is Trinitarian doctrine, which you can be evidenced throughout the Bible. Jesus was being baptized. The Father speaks from heaven, said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You're able to see the physical Son in the water, hear the voice of God from heaven, and see the Spirit descend upon him like a dove. Perfect snapshot of the Trinity. Flip over into the book of Genesis, and then what you'll find there is that God said, "Let us," here it is, plural, "create man in our," again, "own image." So God is speaking both singular and plural at the same time, because it's not just it's a Godhead. Look up the word Godhead, do a study on it, and find it in the Bible. What you'll find is that it consists of persons in the Bible that make one God. So Trinitarian doctrine, we're not going to argue that here, but third wave focuses specifically on the work of the Holy Spirit. So in the work of the Holy Spirit, the idea is that the kingdom of God will be established on earth. Understandable concept, totally biblical there. But then they look at the Holy Spirit and how he operates through these different signs and wonders. Oh, goodness, I'm going to have to do a part three. And so you're looking at how the Spirit moves and how the Spirit operates, but one of the things that we do is we begin to generalize. We looked at We looked at the people that actually initiated this third wave movement, and many of these concepts to which they believe was based on their experience. Some of them were dispensationalists, in which they mean they understood that God was operating at different times and different ways to actually, from a personal experience about the Holy Spirit, believing that God or Holy Spirit is operating now the same way he did back then in the biblical times. The reality is we don't have much evidence for that. And then two, another issue is that while we're looking for the move of the Holy Spirit, we have to put it in proper context. So healing and blessings, let's deal with that, because this is where a lot of people get swept away. If I'm sick, if I'm hurting, right, according to my faith, I should be made whole. The reality is that there were so many people that were healing and hurting who have, like, gone on and died. What is wrong with their faith? In fact, in the very beginning of the third wave movement, one of the reasons why the movement didn't get as much legs under it is because while they were proclaiming to have faith, people were still getting sick. They believed that if they just prayed for them and they recovered, that they would begin to actually recover. But what happens when your loved one is on a deathbed and you're praying for them and you're hoping for them? And I know many people under the sound of my voice, many people in actually in real life have experienced this. You're hoping that your loved one is be all right, that they recover. But in reality, you look up and they still die. Is it something wrong with your faith or is it something wrong with their faith? Either way, a gold third wave movement says that it, according to your faith, it should be because the Holy Spirit is operating the same way back then as he's operating now. So the movement of the Holy Spirit is supposed to be where these signs and wonders happen. How come they only happen through certain people? Let's talk about the actual, let's talk about the prophet. Let's deal with the prophet first. So we believe in modern day prophets and people that call themselves prophets. I believe in prophets, too, because the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 4 that that's what God has given us. And he gave some teachers, evangelists, and prophets, and he gave all of these gifts to the church. Key thing there, to keep in proper context, is he gave. Is he still giving? If you look at the look of what it means to be a prophet is simply a person that speaks to people as a mouthpiece, like from God. That's fine, but if you look at the Old Testament prophets, one of the things the Old Testament prophets did, they spoke to the people on behalf of God as like a mouthpiece of God to the people, because God's will, he was directing them into something new. He was directing them into a certain era. He was directing them, and they needed to hear the word of God from a vessel that was chosen so that they would receive it and that they would ultimately respond. But here it is, if you flip over into the book of Revelations, you'll find that the Bible teaches us that all that he's given us is in his word. We shouldn't add to it. We shouldn't take anything away from it. What God needed to say to us has been sealed. So he's not saying anything different or new that's not already in his word. So what is my need now to go to the prophet? Well, if you're a prophet based on the fact that you are speaking to us on behalf of the Lord and you're saying something that lines up specifically within his word, then amen. But if you're saying that you're a prophet and that you are the same measure of prophet as it was in the Old Testament, I have to challenge your office. Because what is the necessity? God is not saying anything new. He told us he would not say anything new. So his word will not come back to him null and void. Well, let's deal with the apostle. What is the qualifications of an apostle? Qualification of an apostle is that you actually have been with the Lord. You was in his presence. You spent time in the physical presence of God, the Son specifically. Now, we look at it, Paul, and we say, well, how was Paul considered an apostle? If you do a deeper study of your word, one of the things you'll find is Paul attested to being in the physical presence of Jesus and directly taught by him for 3 years in the deserts of Arabia. If somebody can specifically give that testimony, then perhaps. But very few of us, I challenge that probably none of us are in the office of a prophet. Can we prophesy? Absolutely. Do that gift exist? Would God actually bless us with the ability to prophesy? Yes. Does that mean that you're a prophet? No. And so one of the things that I want to actually share with us regarding like prophets, and I'm not attacking prophets. I'm not attacking apostles, because I do believe that there are some who's actually pursuing the work of the ministry, but we have to put it in proper context. What's the difference between a prophet, an apostle, and a preacher, and a pastor? In proper context. So here it is that when you think about the third wave movement, if I can convince you that I'm something more significant than what I am, then it's all about me, then now I can get you to believe the way I want you to believe. And make no mistake about it, we have to evaluate the ministries that we support. What is the basis of what you believe? Listen to the prophets and apostles when they're talking, because many times, not all of them, I'm not attacking all, I'm not attacking any, I'm just trying to lay out the word of God. When you actually look at it, it'll be a way of promoting self. I was listening to an apostle, and he couldn't, so many times she said, the reason why I do this is because I'm anointed of God, and I do this, and I'm able to do that, and he told only me this and only me that, and I'm going to anoint your cloth, and you can take that prayer cloth, and I'm going to sell it to you for $10, and all this stuff. It's about profit. The ministry was never about profit. How many offerings did Jesus raise? How many times did Jesus said he needed your money? How many times did Jesus charge for healing? How many times did Jesus actually operate in ministry for the purpose of a financial gain? Now ask yourself, when you're listening to that prophet, when you're listening to that apostle, how does this fall in line with what I understand about the word of God? Why is it so significant that you speak about yourself or speak about specifically supporting this ministry? How many times did Jesus say, take your money to a specific ministry? Okay. So then when you evaluate what power a person actually has, you take away the power of suggestion that they want you to have, and you actually focus it on the word of God. The third wave movement would have you thinking that you can recover, that you should never be sick. It'll have you thinking that you can name it and claim it. It'll have you thinking that the only evidence of being saved is if you speak in tongues. It would have you thinking so many different things, but none of these things are based on the Bible. None of these things are backed up by the Bible. Well, the argument is said, well, what about Jesus said that you will do greater things? We are doing greater things every single day. There are people who are blind that are being able to see. Do you think that Jesus meant that physically? Imagine someone lost in darkness because they don't understand the word of God, but you come and bring it so that it's clear to them. Now they are able to see spiritually. My brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have to do a part three. I want to actually like dig a little deeper. I'm going to go right into it next time. We'll do a part three. I feel very fervent about this topic, and I want to be able to share with you in a deeper setting. As for now, I would like to like just let you know, I didn't mention this before. This ministry is supported by and actually hosted by the Center of Spirit and Truth, where I serve as the pastor of our intimate-sized congregation, 11663 Arcola in Livonia, Michigan. If you have questions, if you would like to come and find out more about these things that we're talking about, come over and join us and come to a very intimate based church where we're very family-oriented. We're more than a congregation. We are actually a family where we love the Lord and we truly seek to worship him in spirit and in truth. We will be having church in the park over at Ridge Park on Sunday, this Sunday coming up at 11 o'clock. If you're not heading into a physical sanctuary, come on out and join us from 11 to 2 o'clock. 11 to 2 o'clock. It's going to be a great time. Well, we love you, And God bless you. And please join us next time on Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. God bless.